You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Skulk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. I've got a few things scribbled on my list, Skulk. One is Alphabet, one is Apple, one is State of the Nation Address, one is Trump, and then I've got Sappy and Sassel as well. I've also got the gold price written down because it's done rather well. Yeah, so if you want to add anything to it, of course, that's absolutely fine. But can we start with tech, and particularly Alphabet? Because the market didn't seem to like the fact that it's spending so much money on research and development into artificial intelligence. And I'd like your broader view as well as to whether companies are investing too much in that particular sphere in the future.
Look, Lindsay, firstly, hi there and hello to all the listeners.
Thank you.
When you say, people, the analysts went big. The analysts originally went like, because they know they're going to spend. This big thing. I mean, we've had DeepSeek and we know the whole thing around AI. But when analysts go in this optimism and say, well, they're going to most probably spend $58 billion US dollars. And they come out and say, well, we plan to not spend only that. We're actually planning to spend another $17 billion or 75 US, you know, billion US dollars. I mean, that is just crazy.
It's too much, isn't it?
I think so. That's the thing about these tech companies, and we saw that in the 90s. So a lot of people say, well, you don't need to be focused on earnings. You need to be focused on revenue growth, because that's ultimately what it gets you. Now, lately, you know, in the past few years, we've had these Amazons, Googles, Apples, these companies bringing out quite solid earnings growth, and it sort of became normal companies. And now we're going back to that scenario where you say, well, we believe in AI, and we do, but we're going to spend a hell of a lot of money to actually make this pay over the very, very, very long term. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it is a bit of a worry. Naturally, if you look at, as we're currently sitting here, Google down 8%, 8.2%. That's big. That is big. That is big. Market telling us exactly what they're thinking. They're worried. They're worried.
Okay, we'll see what happens. It's also the fear of missing out. I mean, I know that Zuckerberg did it with Meta. I still don't understand what the metaverse is, but anyway, now going huge on AI. But let's see. Maybe in 5 years' time, that $75 billion will seem like a bargain, like a drop in the ocean. But correct, the jury is out. What about Apple? China, of course, involved in a trade war with Mr. Trump's administration. So the first thing they do is have a go at Apple. And Apple has fallen as well. I don't know by how much, not as much as Alphabet has fallen, but nonetheless, under a bit of pressure.
Yeah. I mean, not an 8% movement, still 1% movement today. But I mean, Chinese regulators got the knives out. I mean, Chinese regulators, still considering, and that's what Bloomberg reported today, if I'm not mistaken, where they said, well, they're going to open a formal probe into iPhone's, the App Store fees and their policies. So I know they're definitely not Chinese friendly. But this could be interesting as well. And again, the share price is telling us they're worried, very, very worried.
Okay, so we've got Alphabet and Apple, two of the pillars of the tech industry in Silicon Valley in the United States, and the stock market, of course. And then we've got Trump. Now, I wouldn't say it's an obsession, but it's a fascination that I have with this fellow. And I've had it for years, but it's becoming more and more fascinating to me. I wake up every day and I think, what's he going to do next? He can't do what he did yesterday, because that was outrageous. And this morning, Well, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and say he can't do what he did yesterday. He can't
he's
going to take Gaza over. He can't do that. He can't say he wants to buy Greenland and he wants Canada to be the 51st state. And he's closing down the CIA, or rather saying to everyone at the CIA, you can go if you want to. We'll give you a nice severance package. He can't involve... FBI agents that were involved in the January the 6th investigations. You can't say that you're under investigation and you might be sacked because of it, or even prosecuted. There's no way you can beat all that. But of course he beat it with the Gaza story. Unbelievable. He's unbelievable. He wants to buy Gaza and turn it into the Riviera of the Middle East. Come on now.
No, it is unbelievable. I mean, and he's not backing down on this 51st, you know, state thing of Canada as well. I mean, turning around and say, well, we don't need Canada. We don't. We really don't need Canada. We need nothing from Canada. Neither do we need anything from Mexico. And then he'll just throw out and say, well, we don't need anything from China. We don't need. Hell, I know. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Mr. Trump, or President Trump. I mean, he's gonna have a fun time. But like you said, I just love it. I mean, we said it when he got elected. We knew we're gonna have a few years again of fun and games. He just makes it fun, really.
I know he is. He's really good fun. He's a real hoot, actually, as an American would say. He's a hoot, and I shall miss him when he's gone. And he's saying to himself, unlike the first term, where he was a little bit more tempered in his activity, the second term, which he is obviously his last, he can't run again unless he changes the constitution, which I wouldn't put past him like Putin did. He might say, no, sorry, I can run as long as I like. But he is just going head down and saying, I can do what I like. And it is quite extraordinary, and I will miss him. He's very, very good fun, but dangerous fun, so he mustn't make light of it. State of the Nation address is, isn't it tomorrow night? Yes, tomorrow night.
Yes.
Now, my experience of the State of the Nation address, I've even sort of attended it in Cape Town and reported upon it when I was on television. What happens normally is the EFF disrupts everything, and then the president talks a lot of nonsense, which no one listens to, and it's completely inconsequential. And I don't know if about the EFF and whether it will be inconsequential this time, but it leaves me a little bit cold, Skalk, and I'm sorry to be a cynic.
Yeah, I think he's sort of in hot water lately. I don't want to, you know, go talk about expropriation without compensation and how this has been. I just think the way it's been done, most probably not the best. But be that as it may, I think with the run-up to SONA, I think people will need to hear something, you know, warm and fuzzy.
Yes.
They will need to hear something. Otherwise, I think, like you mentioned, if it's going to be another SONA of a lot of nothings, then I do think that we might see the rant slip again. I mean, I've got no doubt. This is one of the things where the world is going to start, you know, they're going to listen to what President Ramaphosa is saying. And they would like to see us, you know, move in the right direction. We've done a few things, but currently the GNU is really, really wonky. Yeah, this whole, you know, Trump, you know, really attacking Ramaphosa on expropriation without compensation. Yeah, like, let's just hope there's something on that, and let's hope he sort of just calm the temperatures.
It's a time for leadership, I think, is what you're saying here. It is a time to stand there and say, listen, the expropriation bill has been on the table for a long time, but just show me where land has been expropriated. No, there hasn't been any. So just watch out, and Mr. Trump, you're wrong, and everything's fine, and the Government of National Unity, we are still working together, so it's fine. The greatest thing, of course, would be to say, oh, well, we're tackling unemployment, and we're looking forward to a growth-driven economy. But unfortunately, those last two things that I mentioned seem a long, long way away, Skalk.
Hopefully that's going to be the case. I really, really hope that he's going to focus on that better, because he hasn't done that over the past 2-3 years. We want him to focus on that department. We've got the GNU in place now. Now we should start focusing on implementing all these great things that the GNU, you know, are working on.
Yes, we can only hope so. We'll find out on Thursday night. A couple of companies on the JSE today that caught my eye, notably Sappi, very, very volatile stock. It reports quarterly, share price down over 4% today. The second one was Sasol, which continues to astound. It didn't do much today. It was, I think, up a little bit, actually, after its trading update. But Sappi, first of all, probably not one that features in your life too much, Skulk. That's my feeling.
I've never made money on this company. Never, ever. I mean, as I dabbled every now and then, maybe, you know, put a few bob. You know, like I said, this is not a company for orphans and widows. It's just such a volatile company.
Yes.
And today was no different. I mean, they came out. I mean, when you look at the financial highlights, results, you know, for Q1 25, I didn't think it would look too bad. I mean, they were talking about EBITDA of $203 million US dollars. Refinitiv had them at $200 million, so fairly in line with expectations. I saw JP Morgan was somewhat a little bit more bullish. They had them at $213 million US dollars on the EBITDA. And we can continue. I mean, but in general, I thought that these was pretty much in line, but then they mentioned the market conditions and the outlook did look quite negative. They were talking about the maintenance shutdowns that they're going to have in Q2. That's usually not good for these pulp companies. So you know, the Somerset PM2 project, they're going to be shutting that down. Then they also mentioned that the paper pulp oversupply persist, and that the paper demand is really, really recovering way slower than they actually anticipated. So that's also not looking good in terms of the outlook. They did mention that, you know, there's some price stabilities now. We had that supply chain hiccups a few years ago, and there was a bit of price, I don't want to say manipulation, but price volatility, and that seemed to be let's call it stabilizing. And then I just mentioned that the paper demand remains stable in North America and South Africa. But I would say that the outlook sort of just swing the normal EPS outlook and EBITDA outlook towards people are worried, and the share price got clapped. I mean, 5%, 4.76% down today. You mentioned Sasol. I mean, what you didn't mention is as this let's call it a trading update was released, and this is the trading statement for the 6 month ended 31st December. The share price skyrocketed. It was trading 90, close to 92. I don't have the highs and lows here, but it was up over 5%, close to 6% for the day. Yeah. And I mean, I went through it, and when you look at the HEPS expectation versus both, just look at Morgan Stanley and also Refinitiv, it's fairly in line. There's no beat, no. They did mention that the previous year HEPS was 20.37 rand. It's going to come out 13 rand to 15 rand this year. But if you drill through, we know that they made losses the previous 6 months. But if they're going to continue producing these type of earnings, yes, it's not going to be matching the previous year. But still, we're looking at a forward P, you know, for Sasol of 2.9 times.
That's minuscule.
That's really, really. I mean, this is a company that's been trading at fairly low price earnings multiples, but still, I mean, three times. I mean, I've backdated. I think 15 years. They're sitting at around about close to 9 times earnings, and when you take 20 years, Sasol is sitting at an 11-12 times average PE ratio. Let's just take half of that and say, well, it goes back to a 6 PE ratio. Then this company can pretty much very, very easily double up and still not be expensive at trading at a 6 PE.
After the spike up of which you spoke so enthusiastically, where is it now? It's come back to about 86, 87, hasn't it?
Yep, down. It actually closed the day down after the great performance originally. Down 11 basis points, closed at 87 rand. Yeah.
Okay, we'll come to the share price movements in a moment. Any other shares, though, that I've missed on the Stock Exchange News Service, or any other ones that really caught your eye?
No, I think it was the only one that I maybe was Sea Harvest, but it's a fairly small company. But they also came out with a trading statement for the year ended 31st of December.
Okay, dollar rand. The rand has had a good day. The US dollar has fallen over 2% against the mighty rand, 18.56 that exchange rate. British pound against the rand 23.21, and the euro rand is 19.34, with the euro dollar 104.20. That's a euro that's gained 1.75% against the dollar. British pound 125.05 against the greenback. Now, has the gold price has done well? It's up $20, $28, $2,873 per ounce. What else have we got here? Platinum and palladium, both solidly into four figures, $10.20 per ounce for platinum, up 1.8%, and palladium, $10.10, up just very slightly. But anyway, encouraging to see it going from three figures, both of them, to four figures. Now, if we continue with the commodity theme, what's going on the big ones, and that's the energy sector. We've got West Texas crude oil, $71.55, which is down 1.6%, and Brent crude oil, $75.08 per barrel, which is down just under 1.5%. Natural gas prices after going up 8% yesterday, just very slightly weaker. Anything else there? Coal prices down 2.7%. Not much. So we'll go straight to S&P 500 futures. 6,050 off their lows, but still down, you know, half a percent. We'll talk about that in a moment. It just seems to me the market's a little bit nervous about what's going on geopolitically and politically, domestically in the United States of America. So down half a percent. US 10-year Treasury bond yield, 4.43%. The South African 10-year. Now, I put out a tweet yesterday because I thought there'd been this huge spike in yields, but apparently it was a technical anomaly because it's the contract had changed. It's 10.74% for the South African 10-year. And Bitcoin, to complete the picture, 98,300 and a bit, which is down 1.7%, Skark. What were the big movers on the JSE today? I'll weigh in with mine in a minute, but what are your big movers up and down?
Gold, baby. I mean,
there we go.
Creeping ever so closely to that $2,900. We know gold today again making all-time highs. I mean, this is something sort of been a theme over the past week. Gold price making new all-time highs pretty much every second day. But today it was no different. I mean, we're seeing the gold price, as you just mentioned, making new highs, and that really helped most of these gold counters. Goldfields up 4.2%. This is Anglo Gold, 2.1%. Durban, Roodepoort Deep, 4.8%. And Harmony sort of lagging a little bit, 1%, 1.1%. But still, I mean, if it was digging, it was growing today. So yeah, I would say I would highlight the gold counters. But also, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, some of these platinum counters, PGM counters, also looking very, very good. With the platinum and palladium prices, going four figures. So that's also helping. So in general, I would say it's been a very solid day for resources, and that after a phenomenal January. I mean, why I say phenomenal, I think I can't remember when last one of the sectors, and in this case, it's the resource sector, grown close to 20% in 1 month. It was 17.5% growth for the sector in the month of January alone.
You're talking resources now, yeah?
Yeah. The resource sector.
That's very good. I mean, it's had a tough time, of course, but that is a spectacular performance.
What a recovery. And it doesn't seem like it's stopping anytime soon because, as we mentioned today, it's running again. So that's good. I mean, that usually is back in the days, it was way better for the JSE. But still, I mean, we're still a very, very strong and predominantly resource driven type of indice or market. Mm. So, yeah, when you've got days like today, I mean, we'll cover the indices today, but when you got a day like today where both both the industrials and financials was in negative territory, but still your all share was in positive territory, then you know it was a resource day.
Very good. I'll just weigh in with a couple of others. Pick and Pay up 2.5% today. Anglo Plat, a 2.9% winner. On the downside, the aforementioned Sappi down 4.75%, Aspen down 4%, Redefine down 3.6%, Bidvest down 2.75%. Didn't that go shooting up the other day? Anyway, and Datatech down 2.25%. Skulk, you mentioned the indices. Give us the indices and start with the good ones and start with resources in particular. And wipe that smile off your face, please.
Let's do that. So the resource index today closed at that 1.6%. As I mentioned, the industrials, they were down 9 basis points, and financials down 8 basis points. Even the SA property were down, 1.11% for the day. But well, all share were looking good. All share 86,611 points in this pretty muted day globally. Yes. I mean, they still managed to keep themselves in positive territory, 18 basis points. And the JSE top 40, they actually closed the day at 78,558. That's 0.28% positive. The turnover on the market didn't look too shabby as well. I mean, we didn't have the 25 billion day yesterday, but well, we take this close to 23 billion value traded on the market any day. So very good, very solid day for South Africa. Yeah,
very definitely. Nice. Okay, Skulk, thank you very much for your analysis. Excellent as always. We shall speak next week. We shall digest the State of the Nation address and try and digest whatever Trump has done in the next week. I mean, who knows? Fascinating stuff.
There will be something new.
There has to be. Gosh, who's he going to try and buy next? Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.